can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Conservative Theological University announces all online degree programs. Yes, you can earn your AA through PhD degree all online. Study at your own pace. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and leave your contact info for the staff to reach out to you. Also, Conservative Theological University is offering free your first introductory online Bible course. You only pay for your textbooks. CTU provides the rest. Go to conservative.edu for more info.
Driving in Jacksonville is normally smooth and breezy, till it's not. That's where you come in.
The right two lanes are blocked because a semi lost a bunch of lumber.
There is a major backup all the way to the Dane's Point Bridge.
Thanks for helping your friends on the road every day. See a traffic problem? 904-901-7233.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you. We apologize for our technical difficulties in bringing you today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast. We now join it in progress.
Is the Greek word kurios, means owner, master, controller. Well, said to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, in thy name cast out demons, in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I, Jesus speaking, profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, when we look at the totality of Scripture and ask the question, who is Jesus Christ? Jesus is the virgin-born Son of God. John 1, 1, 2, and 3 very clearly points out that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. John 1, verse 18 points out that Jesus came to exegete, to reveal, to show us who God is. How is that possible? Because according to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, the Lord Jesus Christ is 100% God and 100% man. The Philippians 2 text, verse 5 through 11, talks about Jesus Christ leaving heaven's glory, coming to earth's gloom, taking upon himself the form, it's the Greek word morphe, M-O-R-P-H-E, pronounced morphe, taking upon himself the form, the morphe, the outward appearance of man. And thought it not robbery, ladies and gentlemen, that he would leave heaven's glory and come to earth's gloom. Jesus Christ is virgin-born. He is the virgin-born Son of God. Jesus Christ is 100% God and 100% man. He is not diminished by his coming in the flesh. In fact, when you study the life and works of the Lord Jesus Christ, he never surrendered one iota of his divinity. He was still God coming in the flesh. Jesus Christ is God coming in the flesh. As I said, John 1:18, Jesus Christ created all things. You say, I thought God did. He did. Jesus Christ is God. Genesis 1, 1 and 2, that talks about God creating everything. Then you look at chapter 1 and 2 of Genesis, days and nights and everything that's in the world was created. Then you look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 18. You find that the Bible says that Jesus Christ, God come in the flesh, created everything that's visible, everything that's invisible, everything that's on earth, everything that's under the earth, everything that's in the heavens, and everything that's beneath the heavens. All things were created by him. And the scripture says in the 17th and 18th verse, and all things consist by him, through him. He is the divine superglue that holds it all together. The Lord Jesus Christ, according to the scripture, had no sin, did no sin, and could do no sin. But I believe multitudes today, even as Christians, do not fully understand who Jesus Christ really is. Let me just say something very succinctly, ladies and gentlemen. If Jesus Christ had never come into this world, there'd be no church. If Jesus Christ had never come into this world, there would be no Christian. If Jesus Christ had never come into this world, there'd be no such thing as celebration of Easter. If Jesus Christ had never come into the world, there'd be no such thing as Jesus coming again. And I'm saying all of that as a summary statement to set the stage for who Jesus Christ is. And then we will deal with the question, do Muslims love Jesus? As Tucker Carlson said, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd love to have your comments. What do you think about Tucker Carlson's statement? Is Tucker Carlson right? Is Tucker Carlson correct in saying that Muslims love Jesus? Do Muslims really love Jesus? What does the Bible say about it? What does the Quran really say in relationship to that? I believe it is imperative for us to understand the details of that and recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that what is said is not what is true in relationship to who Jesus is and what is said by Islam about the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a different story. In fact, I'm looking at my book, Is Islam Tolerant? Page 79. Let me read you for your edification what I said in this book when it was published back, I believe it was in 2011. It's not but about 350 pages. It is 25 chapters. Title of it is Islam Tolerant? A very succinct answer to that is no, Islam is not tolerant. But on page 79, I've broken the book down, by the way, the 25 chapters. Let me just explain that to you very briefly in relationship to it. I talk about Islam in this fashion. Islam and Allah, Islam and Quran, Islam and abrogation. We'll talk about that in a moment. Islam and the Holy Bible, Islam and deception, Islam and Muhammad the sinner, Islam and Jesus, Islam and crucifixion, Islam and Mary, Islam and salvation, Islam and hell, Islam and the Trinity, Islam and Jews, Islam and the sword, Islam and women, Islam and polygamy, Islam and human rights, Islam and liberty, tolerance, martyrdom, jihad, Christian friends, dialogue, and quotes about Islam. On page 79, I'll read just a bit of this. Then I want to introduce to you a caller that I believe could enlighten a lot of us on this subject today. Page 79 in my book is Islam Tolerant. All Muslims claim to believe in Jesus. Muslims are quick to demonstrate goodwill for Jesus and his mother Mary. The name of Jesus is found 25 times in the Quran. Islam considers Jesus a prophet, just like Moses, Abraham, and Noah. But Islam rejects the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Islam completely rejects the biblical truth that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh to become the payment for the sins through his death on the cross. But if Jesus is just a man, we're all dead in our trespasses and sins. Then I start out with on the basis that who is Jesus? And I go through the details because, ladies and gentlemen, here's the point. We'll read a few surahs where they praise Jesus, they praise Mary, the Islamics, in their Quran. But they do not love the Lord Jesus Christ that we love. They claim to love and revere the Lord Jesus. But it's a totally different Jesus. Now, what I said is a totally different Jesus. Because the Jesus Christ that we serve, the Jesus Christ that we as Christians love, is the Son of God, virgin born, very God, 100% man and 100% God, with no diminution of his deity or of his humanity either. Yet that is not the same Jesus that's spoken of in the Quran. Now, let me just give you a little brief insight, and then we'll have our guest come on. The Quran does not mention who chose the name and why he was named Isa, I-S-A, in their Quran rather than Jesus. You call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, Matthew 1:21 tells us. But in Surah, we call them chapters and verse divisions, Surah 287, we gave Jesus, the son of Mary, clear signs and supported him with Gabriel. This is what Islam says. Here's the point. And I could go through the details. I'd rather do that with our guest on the line in a moment. But in the early surahs talking about chapters, we'd call them chapters 2, 3, 4, and 5, they were displaced, abrogated, by later surahs that changed the total tone of what he said. Islam today hates, wants to slaughter every non-Muslim on the face of the globe. Especially the Jews and the Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful to have Randy McDaniel taking time out of his busy schedule to call us today and have a little conversation in relationship to this subject. We're talking about, do Muslims love Jesus? Randy, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule and calling today.
Well, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. Thank you for having me on today.
I want to let you do a little introduction of yourself for me. Tell our listeners why it's important for them to hear what you say. Something about a thumbnail sketch of your background, your authoritative understanding of Islam, your lectures on that subject, and your position today, whether or not Islam is peaceful, whether or not Islam should be embraced, whether you think that Islam really loves Jesus.
Well, that's a lot to unpack, but let me start with this. My background is a former Marine counterintelligence specialist. Got involved about close to 20 years ago on the civilian side, like most people after 9/11. Most people didn't know what to do. They wanted to get involved and fight. They knew something was wrong. Got involved initially with a group called Act for America, Brigitte Gabriel's group. She's still around and still operating. And then through that, a couple of my friends, one is John Guandolo. He was the First, he was a Marine like myself, Desert Storm, Desert Shield vet like myself. He was the number one. He wrote the first training manual on the Islamic movement in America and the Muslim Brotherhood, and received the Defender of the Homeland Award from both Senators Kyle and Lieberman, both sides of the aisle, for his seminal work to train our law enforcement on that. That training has since been stripped by the Council on American Islamic Relations, which is Hamas doing business as CARE in America. They are Muslim Brotherhood. Through the civil rights, civil liberties, they've stripped all real factual training, which is why part of the reason we fought a war on terror, which is merely a tactic of war for 20 years, we expended our lifeblood, our treasure, and we basically had the tail wagging the dog, which we still have going on today. Our by and far, our law enforcement, military, and federal law enforcement on both sides, whether it be CIA, FBI, DHS, do not have a clear understanding of this threat. Major Coughlin is the other guy I work with. Steve Coughlin came in. He was the only analyst in the world to predict the Arab Spring and the consolidation of the Muslim Brotherhood power throughout the Middle East, which we thought was a freedom movement, described it as such. And he is the only analyst that predicted months ahead of time that we would have the BLM uprising start in Minnesota through intelligence indicators. He is a savant. And I've worked with Steve now for almost as long as John, probably within a year or so of that. Right now, we had a group called Understanding the Threats. Through lawfare, the enemy was able to shut that organization down. We have reorganized under ASIG, which is the Allied Special Intelligence Group, too, modeled after World War II Allied Special Intelligence Group. So that is the group we're doing, and we'll be flying out. Actually, I'll be leaving next week to Texas to do a training for a few days, and we are training and equipping federal law enforcement, local law enforcement, civic groups on how to locate, identify, and neutralize these hostile enemy forces, whether they be Islamic or progressive, legally take them off the battlefield. CCDF, or Citizens Defending Freedom here in Jacksonville, has done a superb job with a similar model here in Jacksonville by really, really reclaiming our schools, the library textbooks, and also flipping the school board from ultra-liberal, progressive, promoting many of these hostile activities to flipping to very conservative. Only, I think, one progressive on the board now, and they flipped the superintendent. So that is a similar model. We were, when they first started up, we were very interested because their model mirrored what we are actually teaching nationwide. So that would be the background, I would say, that our background is. To go and think that Islam is peaceful, I will tell you from their perspective, and here's the problem that we have in the West. We try to understand Islam through a Western lens or eye view, world view, and you cannot. Islam is very logical. Islam is probably the perfect war mechanism or war doctrine. In fact, Pakistan, their whole country's nation's war doctrine is based on the Quran and is written by General S.K. Malik. It's called the Quranic Concept of War, and they talk about use of even nuclear weapons in the lens of the Quran. So to say that the book is a book of similar to the Bible is just wrong. I mean, we could not wage a war doctrine or create a war doctrine based on the Bible, the Old or New Testament. Not that there weren't wars in it. It just doesn't have strategy and doctrine. The Quran is strategy and doctrine throughout, from start to finish, as Muhammad did. So it is a war. It is the perfect war doctrine because, and I'm not going to dive too deep into it, but you know, it just has so many elements that make it so efficient. And we have 1,400 years of a war-fighting, war-footing doctrine of Islam conquering Christian country after Christian country. Almost all Muslim countries were almost all exclusively Christian, except for a handful, Zoroastrian and others, but they were all still conquered by Islam.
Absolutely. Well, Randy, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, we're listening to Randy McDaniels. Brother Randy is, I believe, as knowledgeable, if not more so, than most that would lecture on that subject in America today, knowing the background, the context, and the the attempt of what Islam is doing, and has been for about 1,400 years. Randy, let me ask you a couple of questions. It is true, I'll set the stage with this statement, it is true that in the Quran, they mention Jesus and Mary in a benevolent sense about 2 dozen times, a little better, 25, 26 times. So if that is the case,
if that is the case,
tell us, Randy, how is it so that you can take those few early surahs and make the praise for Isa, Jesus, as we know him, and then Tucker Carlson say Islam loves Jesus just like we do? I want you to untangle that web, and what is it that causes their book, the Quran, to say that they respect Jesus and Mary, and yet we know that is not the case? Explain that, and what is it that is in place that causes that? What is it that we know of today that causes them to have one surah today and a different one tomorrow, if you will?
Well, those are really two very diverse questions.
Yes.
Let me tackle one first.
Yes.
The first one is Muhammad, if you understand that Islam was established in 610 A.D., Muhammad began his revelations, and he was married to a very wealthy woman named Qajadiya. Basically, she was trading. So they traded, and so they were getting pieces of information from Christianity, Judaism, Zoroastrianism. And if you look at the Quran, it's really a mix of several religions and also Muhammad's impulses, human impulses, carnal impulses throughout the Quran. So what you have is a perversion of many, many verses that he just didn't get right. Now, to say that they revere Jesus, they do. But the Jesus in the Quran and the Jesus in the Bible are two very different individuals and two very different personalities for two very different reasons. The Jesus of the Quran, and there's what's interesting, the Jesus in the Quran performed miracles. He had a virgin birth. But here you have, and this is the absurdity of part of the Quran, you have Muhammad, which is a sinful man, a man who really didn't know whether he did enough works or deeds to get into heaven, because Islam is based on works, not on faith. And you have this man that had multiple wives, committed multiple sins, and knew that he lived and died and did not resurrect. But in the end days, the perfect man in the Quran, Jesus, Isa, son of Mary, which is not a third of three because Allah does not have any sons, so that he is not the divinity. The Jesus of the Quran is to destroy, he's the Antichrist. He is to destroy the Jesus of the Bible. So he's the antithesis of this. So the point is that Jesus of the Quran did not die, was not crucified. He ascended to heaven. And without the crucifixion, the life, the death, and resurrection, we know that Christianity is dead. There's no basis for our faith. So it's really an attack on Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
It's also an attack on Judaism in many ways as well. But they revere a Jesus, but it's a very different Jesus. They can call him the Messiah, but they really don't have an understanding what Mashiach or Messiah means in Islam. And again, you can't have a Messiah who doesn't resurrect. But you have a perfect man, and I know Muslims who have converted from Islam or to Christianity based on the Bible because they said, hey, you know, Muhammad, and they started looking at Muhammad as an imperfect man who waged war and killed and did all this. And then the Muhammad in the Quran was a perfect man, a sinless man who performed miracles. Although he only ascended to heaven, he was taken up. He never died. But they come to know Christ based on that. So I have known Muslims that have done that. So to answer that question, one is that the Jesus of the Quran and the Jesus of the Bible simply are not the same entity. And the Jesus of the Quran in the end days will serve the Mahdi, or the Messiah, the Islamic true Messiah, who returns, who will break the cross, meaning kill the Christians. He will kill the pig, meaning the Jews. And the Jesus of the
Randy,
Quran will lead the prayer.
Randy, hate to interrupt. If you would hang on there and hold your thoughts, we'll come back right after the news. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
Is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.